Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch, Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails on the one and only show where you can talk about Patriots football uninterrupted for 2 hours. Can't do that anywhere else. I'm sorry. This is the only place. And
you can do that.
Where?
Here.
Yeah.
We don't often do it, but where? You can do it.
No.
You're allowed to.
We mix other things in.
Sure.
But you know what? No Scalavino.
No Scalavino.
I don't even know where he is.
I don't either. I think he's tracing a picture somewhere.
Did he ask for vacation time?
Yes. He told me that he was taking 3 vacation days to start this week.
Okay.
Told me that a couple of weeks ago. Really, I just assumed he had told you.
Big Head's not here.
His normal custom of taking Tuesdays and Fridays off.
Tuesdays, people trying to get their vacation days in before the season starts, because then that's it.
They do it the right way. I do it the wrong way. I always wait too long, and then I can't take it all.
Right. Me too.
That's just stupid.
If I were to use up all the vacation days that I have had since I worked here, it would be a year's worth of vacation.
I only had 1 year where I took my full allotment.
Yeah. So I would have a hell of a lot of time off. But what are you going to do? You can't take it, because then you fall behind. There's work to do. It's a catch-22. Anyway, Paul and I are here, along with Tacoma in the booth, and we'll be talking about everything that's going on. There's a lot of league stuff going on, not necessarily just Patriots stuff, but stuff going on with other teams that, you know, for as much as we complain about Logan Mankins and things that are going on, there's a lot of teams in worse shape than the Patriots when it comes to contracts and injuries. And so we'll talk about all that today. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We have emails coming in already. Thank you very much for that. Paulie.
What's going on?
I know there's no news really on Mankins. That's both sides have gone silent.
It's very quiet, and you know, we talked about this last week, because on Thursday last week was the last day of minicamp, and we said it would quickly become a ghost town around here. And it certainly has. The parking lot, the players' parking lot, has really emptied out. So I think that's a good thing, because I think that means most players got their off-season work done. Because that's the only ones that you see here now, are stragglers that are still trying to get the rest of their off-season program work done. And the fact that there aren't a lot of people here tells me that most of them already have it completed.
Yep. So very quiet here on the Patriots front. Trying to think if there's anything
else. It's
been
pretty quiet league-wide. I mean, there's a couple, like the Steve Smith thing that you kind of alluded to with injuries.
Right. Yep.
Just a quirky kind of story. He played, evidently, in recreational flag football league all year and broke his arm in the championship game. I don't think it's a major deal toward Carolina, but still kind of have to wonder why he was playing in a flag football league.
It's kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
He's an odd guy. He's a very talented guy, no doubt. But he's got...
He wasn't getting paid for that.
He's had some issues. To play flag football?
Yeah.
No,
yeah. So I'm wondering why in the heck he would do that, you know? So...
No, it sounds like the equivalent of my Achilles.
Yeah.
He's just playing a stupid recreational sport, and all of a sudden he breaks his arm.
Yeah.
Only he's got multi-millions of dollars on the line.
I was alluding to that. That's a tough break for the Panthers, although there's conflicting reports about whether or not he'll be ready for training camp. I mean,
I don't think it's a huge deal for the Panthers.
It's a just broken arm.
Kind of strange...
Usually a couple months, you're all set.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I saw one link on Florio today. I don't know. I didn't read the story, but it said maybe even a blessing in disguise. I don't know if that maybe he gets some extra rest or something. I don't even know. I didn't even read the story. It seems so foolish to me. I mean, whatever you can get out of as a result of the broken arm, they could have just said, your arm's not broken, but you can do A, B, and C if it was really going to be better for him.
Right.
You know, you didn't have to break your arm to be able to do something. Give you, you know, a little extra
rest.
Well,
at least it'll keep him out of these recreational sports activities for a while.
It's unbelievable.
What the hell is he doing?
Ryan Clady had that serious injury playing basketball, right? He was playing pickup basketball way back in, like, March. He ripped up his knee.
Right. You know, these guys, they're athletes, and they don't
know
another speed.
And they got to play, too. Yeah. I mean, you can't just sit there and say, you know, you spend the offseason in a bubble, don't do anything.
But when they do something like that, they don't know half speed. They, you know, they're competing probably, and, you know...
And so, you got to figure, if he broke his arm playing flag football, I mean, I suppose it's possible he could have gotten tangled up with someone and tripped and fell awkwardly.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you, the first thing you think of is maybe he's like laying out to make a catch?
Well, and you know.
You know, I didn't read any of the story. I shouldn't even speculate.
And I swear to God, this happened absolutely coincidentally. But yesterday I had a reason to try to find some of the old cyber sidelines that the Patriots did in 1997. And I came across one from 99, and I just played one video just to see what it was, and it was the one after Robert Edwards got hurt playing on the beach flag football, tore up his ankle. And, you know, out of all the hundreds and hundreds of videos, you know, that I could have clicked on, that was the one that I clicked on. And, you know, obviously it came right with the news of Steve Smith over the weekend.
I'm just glad to hear you didn't click on one that I was a part of.
No, this was
that's good. That was
Dave Crisoli was host.
He was host?
Yeah.
Remember Robert Edwards one?
99. Yeah.
Huh.
1999.
Okay.
So.
Then I was here. I could have been a part of that one.
Yeah. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. There's some Haynesworth talk starting to heat up a little bit. I don't quite understand what the deal is down there. Are you on top of that story? There's something to do with the special master now and a ruling that he's making that could actually help Haynesworth.
They're trying to get I don't know what I don't know all the details of why exactly Haynesworth is so upset. I know that Shanahan plans on implementing a 3-4 and he doesn't want to play it. Now, he got an awful lot of money as recently as this offseason. He got $21 million. And from what I've read briefly, not reading all those, I'm not really all that interested in this story, to be honest with you. But reading some of that stuff, the Redskins are trying to recoup that $21 million because, you know, he's not playing. He's not showing up to anything. He doesn't want to play. So if he's refusing to take part in a 3-4, the Redskins shouldn't have to pay him money that they just now paid him. It's not like they paid him 3 years ago or 2 years ago. It's just now, just this past offseason.
Yep.
So... I don't know where Haynesworth stands to gain anything unless the special master rules against the Redskins being entitled to getting any of that money back. But in terms of the Patriots, Fred, and I've seen some, not a lot, but there have been some people poking around. Would you take a shot? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If he doesn't want to play at a 3-4 in Washington, I don't want him playing in a 3-4 in New England. The guy is incredibly talented. He's a very, very good player. But we've seen him play one way when he's chasing the money and another way when he's got the money. I don't want him.
Yeah.
I don't want him.
He's a strange dude. You know, this is odd.
He's a very strange guy.
You know, I think Shanahan put it – it was actually Vinny Serrato who put it. He said he signed to be a Redskin, not to play in a 4-3. You know, that's a good way of putting it, you know. you're on the team. And can you imagine if, like, Teddy Bruschi said, oh, I'm not going to play outside when they had to have him do that a couple times. Or Mike Vrabel, I'm not going to go inside when they had to have him go inside. You know, you do what the team needs you to do. That's the whole idea of football. You know, and what's the downside of playing a 3-4? Okay, so your stats aren't as good?
You know, that's a great point, too, the Mike Vrabel point.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Vrabel did not like having to play inside linebacker.
No.
And he talked to Belichick about not liking it. But yet he did it. Mm-hmm. And not only did it, he did it well.
Yeah, he certainly did.
You know, so we know what he didn't want to be a part of, and we know that, you know, what his preference was, but bottom line is he did what he had to do for himself and for the team. You be a professional about it.
That's exactly right. Haynesworth, though, is I think there might be a little mental instability there.
He's a strange guy. You said it right. He's been a very different sort of breed right from the start.
Yeah. Immensely talented.
Unbelievably talented player.
Game changer.
Unbelievably talented player.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy you have to scheme for.
Yeah, the talent I'd love to have on my team. Not necessarily looking to get the person on my team, though.
All right. Preston from Brockton. Hey, guys, what the hell is there to talk about today? Well, we just started talking about that. You know, as far as the league goes, I'm trying to think of some league stories that maybe we can bring up. Obviously, there's more and more talk about, you know, the 18 games. We talked about it last week, how Brady had a statement attributed to him on the player site, and a couple other players, Ray Lewis. You know, we can talk about, whether people like the idea of 18 games. But I think the key to that is Goodell has come right out and say, and I got to give him credit for this, four preseason games is too much. You know, we don't want to do that anymore. That's where it's starting from. And then you have the owners who need to, you know, continue to have the revenue, to continue to have those 10 dates a year minimum that you have games in your stadium. So, you know, but it starts with the acknowledgement that these preseason games are a joke.
Well, I think there's two different things. I agree with you that the preseason games are a joke. But from the fan side of me says that. It's I don't want to watch it. I've never been really interested in preseason football. Even at the height of my fandom, I watched with a passing interest. Certainly would never appointment view, you know, a Patriots preseason game before I started working.
I always go into those games saying, oh, I'm excited to see this guy. And it never pans out.
But what happens? 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes into the game, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Is it still really the first quarter?
I know. I talk myself into getting excited going in because, oh, I want to see this guy matched up. And it never really works the
way
I
want it to.
And
what's funny about it, Fred, for me, is that as much as in the past, before I started working here, the little interest that I had was exactly what you just said. You know, there's certain guys that you want to see in certain situations. Well, now that we work for the team, so we're at training camp every day. I don't even have that passing interest because I see these guys every day.
Right.
For the most part, the guys who are out there.
Right.
You know, I don't have to sit there and say, geez, I'm really curious as to see how Devin McCourty looks, you know, in his first game because I see him every day at training camp and I've seen how he looks and I have an idea of how he's going to play. You know, not the definitive word, but you see his progress being made. In the past, when you didn't get a chance to watch practice every day, at least you had that to look forward to. And I suppose that's what a lot of fans – because not a lot of fans are able to get here every day. And we have 5,000-6,000 people at training camp practices every day, but we have 68,000 people in the stands every day, every game. So there's a lot of fans that don't get the opportunity to come to practice that I'm sure like those preseason games. And Fred, the part that I would kind of disagree with Goodell about on this, I think he's right about the fan aspect of the preseason. But is it the best thing, like you said, you give them credit for coming out and saying it. Is it the best thing for football? Is it the best thing for the teams? You know, Belichick has sort of alluded to the fact that two games isn't enough for the preseason. You know, the evaluation process, the younger guys and all that. You could make an argument that it might not be the best. You know, for me personally, right. If you're going to ask me what I'd rather do, I'd have to watch 20 games.
Right.
Do I want 16 to count and 4 not to count, or 18 to count and 2 not to count?
Right.
I'll take the 18 and 2.
No, and I think.
But you can make the argument football-wise that 2 is not enough
right.
to get ready for a season.
And from a coaching standpoint, I think that's why Belichick, And I haven't heard about other teams, but I think that's why Belichick and the Falcons and the Saints have agreed to do these extra scrimmages this year, because at least you're going to go, you know, at least for the skill position players, wide receivers, cornerbacks, quarterback, you'll be able to go against, you know, competition that really is trying to stop you, has no idea what's coming, you know, doesn't know the schedule for the day, and you might get a better idea of how those guys are doing, maybe even better than in the game itself, because in the game itself, you know, you have limited plays and, you know, kind of the control of the game gets out of your hands. But in
down
practice,
in distance.
Yeah,
you can set up all the situations
exactly.
You want in practice.
You can do it over and over again. Right. So it's a controlled environment. You can match up against guys. You can talk to the other coach and, you know, work on certain things. And you might get a better idea of how Taylor Price is against, you know, a first-string cornerback, perhaps.
I think that's a great point, Fred, about the Patriots, and I know a lot of other teams are doing it too, but the Patriots with New Orleans and Atlanta, I think that's, you know, we wrote about it on the blog. We weren't the only ones, too. Everybody else sort of speculated the same way, too. But I think it's a great point. You're looking ahead, and you're wondering, how are we going to do this evaluation process going forward if we only have two games? Well, this might be one way to do it. Maybe you lay the groundwork, see how it works, and then you make your decisions going forward.
I mean, the Patriots are going to have two days in front of the game with both these teams, and I'm assuming at least one of those days will be double sessions. So you're going to get a minimum of three practices in against another team in addition to the game. So that's going to be the way if they go to two preseasons.
I don't think you're going to get that much. I think you're going to get one day of practice. You're going to practice the day before the game?
I think they're going to have a morning practice, yes.
Well, I'd be very surprised. I mean, you're motioning to me wildly here. They've never practiced the day before a game. It's always a walkthrough.
Yeah.
So that would be a certain change from the norm.
Yeah. So
because I've never been here in the 11 seasons now. I've never seen them practice the day before.
So
a game.
I think you're going to have a minimum of three practices against another team before the game, and that's going to be how teams make up for the loss of the preseason going forward.
You know what that's going to mean?
What?
Even less playing time in those preseason games for the frontline players.
It could be.
Because if they're going to practice the day before a game, they ain't playing in the game.
Yeah. Could be. So, we'll see. And like I said, those practices might even be a better indication of how guys are doing than the game itself. The game itself might be just a formality, but the practices might be where, like you said, they actually control the environment, they set up what they want, and see if the guy can perform under those conditions. Not to diminish, you know, it's all different when the fans are in the stands and you're actually in the stadium and, you know, you've got, you know, the down and distance clock going and, you know, it really is a game. You can't recreate that in practice. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you're looking for indications of what guys can do in certain situations. Sometimes a controlled environment's better for that.
Yeah, no, I think you really have hit it. You hit it right in the head. I think that's what they're looking for, and they're looking down the road how they're going to handle this. It's going to be a change to the way they're normally accustomed to doing things. We know that these teams like to have their systems in place and their programs in place. This is going to be a change, and I think Bill is probably weighing his options and figuring out which different alterations will make sense.
Yeah, and I think there will be coordination between the coaches. It only makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, talk to Peyton and who's the Falcons coach now?
Mike Smith.
Not for long.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
Has he?
Yeah.
He's done okay?
Yeah.
Wasn't he coach of the year two years ago?
2 years ago.
If he didn't win it, he was up there for it. I don't remember if he won it or not because – you know, if you ask me who won in, 1978, I'd be able to tell you, but.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Lunch today is brought to us by Rajiv. Thank you, Rajiv.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
We do appreciate it.
We like it even better that Eric and Andy aren't here.
Right, so does Rajiv.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. But he,
you're the man!
He sends an email. He says, hope the lunch is to your liking. I had a few questions. What was your overall opinion of the minicamp? And was there anything different this year as compared to the past?
My overall opinion of the camp was I thought there were what there's the I think there's the potential for several new contributions on offense. you know, between the rookie tight ends, a couple of new receivers, three new receivers, really, if you count Torrey Holt, Brandon Tate, I count as a new receiver, and Taylor Price.
Yeah.
The, you know, Gronkowski and Hernandez. I think the potential to have some new options for Tom Brady is there. That's probably my number one impression of camp. In terms of the way they did it, any changes, I didn't see a thing different.
If you watch, you mentioned Torrey Holt. If you watch All Access, it's on Patriots.com now, came out Friday, but you can watch it in its entirety now. They did a sit-down with Torrey Holt. The guy really does strike me as a very intelligent, smart receiver who in his later years is going to be able to adjust his game, you know, to suit, you know, his skills. And you know, sort of like
very thoughtful guy.
Yeah, sort of like those cagey pitchers who, you know, at the end, they don't rely on their fastball anymore. Now they rely on their smarts a little bit more.
That was like me, Fred, when I pitched. Oh. Only I had to do it at the beginning.
Well, that was in high school. I was going to say that was in high school. But I see Torrey Holt that way. Just listening to him, and I urge you, if you haven't seen it already, go to Patriots.com, watch All Access, pay attention to the part with Torrey Holt, then you can watch the cheerleaders in their bikinis afterwards, which they have that as well. But I think you'll be struck with the same thing I was. This guy's smart, and he's going to contribute this year. This is no Joey Galloway. This is the guy that's going to get it. You can already see him. I saw him on one play during minicamp, you know, doing some hand signals with Brady. You can always already see that unspoken communication is going to work with Torrey Holt. So I'm looking forward to that. I think, you know, this is the first time in a long time we're going to have a training camp without Ben Watson wondering his health.
Not going to be the first time in a long time I'm not going to be wondering that stuff.
But, you know,
first time in a long time without Ben Watson.
Will he practice today and will he contribute this year? That's not going to be an issue this year. Now it's going to be two guys fighting for, you know, they've got jobs, but fighting for playing time, fighting to contribute. I think that's going to be a nice change of pace for training camp.
Yeah, and I think that look, these kids are young. They're both rookies. I'm not expecting them to step in and, you know, catch 80, 90 passes and be all pros. I think these guys have the raw ability to contribute. I don't know much about them personally in terms of their aptitude to pick up the system and know their assignments and do all that stuff. And we know that that's going to be first and foremost for Bill. But I think the potential is there for both Gronkowski and for Hernandez. Totally different ways. They're not the same position. Even though they're both tight ends, Hernandez, I think, is going to be used in a variety of ways as a receiver. I think Gronkowski is more of a traditional three-down tight end who can block. He can be in line as a blocker in the running game and get out and make plays in the passing game.
Rajiv's second question is, what do you think will be the end game regarding Mankins? Do we have able backups to withstand his loss? And if he is traded, what are the possible destinations and what would we realistically get for him?
I think the end game is a trade.
You know, the
really
Patriots are kind of at a defensive position when it comes to trading. Teams, you know, they're not going to offer the top dollar for him because they know the Patriots will probably settle for less. So I think the most they could get for him is a second round pick. You know, and I think they'd be lucky to get that. You know, he's a guard in the NFL. I'm sorry. And he's not John Hanna.
Yeah, I think
he's one of the best ones, but
I think
he's
he could get a second rounder for him. But I think the reason that I would cap it there is the contract.
Right. They're going to have to pay him.
Someone's going to have to pay him money, and that's going to affect how much they're going to be willing to pay you. In terms of suitable partners, I think you have to wait, you know, until it's Rajiv, right?
Yeah.
I think you have to wait until you see how it unfolds in camp. I'd be surprised if it's a quick deal. I'd be surprised if he was dealt before training camp because I think you wait all of a sudden, you know, someone goes down, you know, you get your depth chipped away. How many times do we hear Bill say depth now doesn't necessarily translate to depth in November? You all of a sudden you get in training camp and you think you have two rock solid guards and then one goes down, you know, and maybe they're willing to give you a little bit more than they would have beforehand. There are certainly teams that could use the offensive line help. Pittsburgh has been a team, I think, in recent years that's had shoddy offensive line play. I don't know if you want to make a deal with Pittsburgh, though.
No.
You know, that helps one of your chief rivals.
Absolutely.
Much like I was saying last week, if I were San Diego, I would want no part of trading Vincent Jackson to New England.
Yep. While I'm coming down to see the open sessions of training camp, it will be my first trip to Gillette Stadium and to the training camp, and I intend to make it an annual affair from this year on. I would definitely like to meet you guys, maybe to get to see where you hold the show, and definitely buy you lunch and cold beers to beat the heat. It's great listening to you as always, and enjoy the lunch. Wow. So,
Freddie, can we do that?
So, no, we can't.
Yes. Why not? After practice.
Maybe we could start a tradition in the media tent just to cool
the beers. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? You know those bags that they always take out that I always make fun of? You know, the guys, the writers, they have the little bags on the wheel.
Right.
Because evidently laptops, you know, even though they're smaller and lighter than they ever have been, they suddenly, you can't carry them around if you're a writer. That's what we'll do. We'll have one of those coolers on wheels. We'll bring out like a 12-pack.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it.
No getting drunk or anything. There's like three or four of us.
I like it. Science. Web
I
radio.
Just drink to get drunk.
Web radio.
Is there another reason?
508-543-7482 is the phone number. We'll read another email, and then we'll take a break. Anybody on the phone?
I had a football-related
thing. We have a few open lines.
We have a few open lines? Okay. So we'll wait to fill up those lines before we get to the phones. 508-543-7482. Mike from Kennebunk, Maine. While calling out the Kraft family may have lost Logan Mankins a new contract, is it possible that the Patriots are moving to a different body type for the guard position? Is Logan Mankins the man to stop the Jets' blitz and allow Tom Brady to step into his throws? Any significance that the Patriots.com still has Logan Mankins' player bio still up? In other news, I did subscribe to PFW, and I think that you need more than me to keep the crew intact. So, Fred, give out the subscription info. Speaking of crew, check out Jay Shields from the Patscast podcast on iTunes. This guy knows his stuff. So somebody competing with us out there, Jay Shields.
Why don't you give him a little more publicity?
No, I might listen now, see if this guy's any good.
Replace Eric?
1-800-494-PATS to subscribe, 1-800-494-PATS, or go to pfwonline.com. If you're an international listener, you can get a special deal.
I just had something I needed to tell you, and I completely
forgot. But back to Mankins.
First of all, the significance of him being on the website is that he's on the team.
Right.
No more so than that. Until he signs somewhere else,
you know,
the Patriots are the only team that has his rights. They offered him a tender offer, and that prevents him from being able to sign elsewhere. So his bio and information is going to remain on the website until that changes.
But as far as Patriots moving in a different direction, the Patriots, if Logan Mankins signed his tender, Logan Mankins would be the starting left guard.
Right. And by the way, he has a very similar body type and playing style to Stephen Neal, who is the other guy.
Right.
So I don't think that there's any.
Yeah. And I think Matt Light moving to guard, that was something I thought about, like, to extend his career. But with Mankins, I don't think that's an option. But I'm not sure that he can or wants to play guard. Matt Light, Paul.
Okay, you said Mankins.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I said once they got Mankins, then, you know, he's not going to.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
But, I'm not sure if he could play guard in the NFL. Maybe he could. You know, it's a lot easier to go from tackle to guard than the other way around.
Yeah, I think Light probably could, but he struggles to keep that weight. I mean, I don't know.
To keep it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks trim in the offseason.
There are times he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be the opposite of most offense. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are a good amount of offensive linemen that clearly put weight on to play their position, and then they get much smaller when they graduate, as Junior Seau would say.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Tuesday's edition of PFW in Progress featured Fred flying solo. Well, Philo is there.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Everything seemed to be going well until this topic came up.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I think you can find that at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know. So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49. I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
Now, back to the Nut Wizard. I mean, Fred, and hopefully the rest of the PFW boys.
I don't see the problem with every once in a while talking about other useful things that might help people out.
Listen. You were just soliciting some information.
That's all.
Now, if nothing else, our listeners have proven over the years to be quite resourceful in these situations.
That's right.
Oh, God!
I think
skinned my pecker!
Regardless of the subject, there's always one of our listeners that can give us a, you know,
uncanny would be the word I would use to describe it. Every time, regardless of how obscure, we have something on our minds,
right?
Our listeners are there to clear it up.
Let's see. TG writes in, Paulie on All Access.
TG.
Paulie, saw you on All Access. Bro, what are you trying to do? Which direction are you going to go? Please, please try the hat idea. It's like you're terminally stuck in this bad hair day, Twilight Zone. Ball doesn't work. Growing it out doesn't work. You need an out-of-the-box solution.
Well, I can't wear a hat.
Maybe you could. You could be the guy with the hat.
No, I can't wear a hat.
Like one of those old fedoras that the press guys used to wear with the press thing in the brim?
No.
No?
With a little pencil?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Listen,
that would be a good look for you.
You guys wanted me to shave my head, I shaved my head. Now you're still making fun of me. Nano, now TG. What am I going to do?
TG says, guys, how are the teams going to evaluate talent with only two preseason games? Could we see some bad football being played in the first couple of weeks of the 18-game season while teams are working out the kinks? If the practices between the teams becomes the norm, do we see training camps starting earlier in July? What date does this 18-game season start? Labor Day weekend? Do they reduce the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl to 1 week? Is the Super Bowl played in the Sunday before President's Day in February? Could there be a possibility of a 17-game season as a compromise? The idea presents a scheduling conundrum.
17 had been talked about. I think that's kind of gone away. Remember the whole talk about everybody having a neutral site game?
Right, right.
Of some sort? I think that you're going to have to move the start of the season up at least a week. Right now, they pushed everything back to after Labor Day.
Yeah, they made this decision. They'll never start a
about
season
5 years ago.
For whatever reason, I don't know.
5 or 10 years ago. And
what's better on vacation than to have football on TV?
You know what? I couldn't agree with you more. And I don't really understand why that was such a problem for them. But again, they do all these marketing surveys.
You can have games on Thanksgiving,
studies.
And you can have games like this year.
They have a game on Christmas night.
Right.
If you're telling me that more people would
Labor
be,
Day
be
is
apt
a more
to
sacred
watch a
holiday
game,
than Christmas?
But you're telling me more people would be apt to watch a game on Christmas night than on Labor Day weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you normally doing on Christmas night?
I've never watched an NFL football game, I can tell you that.
Well, did you watch a basketball game last year?
No.
I did. My Christmas was done by like 2 o'clock.
But I'd spend time with my family. I'm not, you know, I'd be much more apt on a laid back holiday like Labor Day, where maybe I'm having a barbecue and maybe some friends or family are over to say, hey, Patriots game's going to start. Let's, why don't we head, you know, even though the weather is nice, that's where I think the NFL draws the distinction is people are outside, they're not watching, whereas people are inside on Christmas. But to me, Christmas is a much bigger deal with my kids. I'm playing all the toys and stuff with the kids and doing things. Christmas to me is special. Of course, nothing says special in Christmas like Buffalo, which is what we'll be doing this year. But people aren't really interested in our problems.
No, but, you know, and the last thing I'd want is just 1 week between the championship and the Super Bowl. That's brutal.
I don't think that will change, but I do think that they will move the start of the season up a week, and then the regular season probably goes a week longer.
Yeah.
And that's how you sort of offset. Then everything gets pushed back a little bit.
I've done the 1 week thing, and you know, again, fans don't want to hear our problems.
It's hard from all
going from the game, getting an hour's sleep, and then heading down to the Super Bowl, and you know, you have to do everything in secret. It's God forbid, you know, anybody finds out you're making plans if you win.
Look what happened to Pittsburgh in 0-1.
Right. So that's really, really hard. And I think it's better to have the 2 week build up, you know. So I don't think they'd want to change that.
I doubt that they would want to change that.
But I think that they would revisit that Labor Day thing. You have to play that.
If you're going to push it back 2 weeks further, now you're into like, you know, is it TG or whoever? I mean, back to President's Day.
Yep.
Before the Super Bowl gets played, I don't think you want now. I think now you're running the risk. The same risk that I worried about with the Super Bowl being in 2014, being at the Meadowlands. Now you got all these playoff games that you're just increasing the chances to get, in my opinion, wrecked.
Yeah.
You know, because let's face it, there's a lot of teams that are going to be hosting games that host them in January now. As you get into February, it can get even worse. I mean, you can get bad weather in January for sure.
Yep.
But I think you're increasing the risk the longer you go.
Let's see. James sent this email a while ago. He says, first of all, to get it out of the way, add me to the list of people who think Mankins is a spoiled little SOB who needs to grow up and realize he isn't going to get what he wants unless it's what the team wants to give him. If I've missed the news and he's back with the team, then he's a great guy and I really missed him.
Thank you, Fred.
I also have a show suggestion and a question for you. First of all, may I suggest using sound bites from a classic, Get Smart? I may only be 20, but that show is one of the best. As for my question, has there been any word and if the Pats will break out the AFL unis for a game or two this year? Hopefully we don't revert to those ugly gray tops. No, I know for a fact that the Thanksgiving game they'll be playing wearing the old red jersey.
They're wearing the red on Thanksgiving again?
Yeah.
They did the last time they played.
Yeah, and I think there might be at least one other game where they wear throwback this year too.
Okay, I didn't know that. You're breaking news here on PFW.
No, I actually think it was a tweet yesterday from Real Patriots that said that.
Oh, okay. So not breaking news here on PFW.
No, I'm not breaking it. But it could be new to you, in which case I'm kind of breaking
it. It was new to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Get Smart.
The silver ones will not be brought back, I'm told.
Yeah, I hate those. They're not silver.
I didn't like them either. Get Smart was a great show.
Great Smart. A lot of people don't know, but one of the writers was Buck Henry, who went on
be
a writer for Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And a frequent guest as well. And that was a good show, although as it got toward the end and she got pregnant or something, it wasn't as good.
She was kind of hot, though.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara Feldon,
yeah. Good show. Let's see. Jason says... I know Fred doesn't like to read emails not sent during the show, but I had to write now as
I
saw it.
I love how they all say that.
I'm watching the ESPN pregame show for the Dodgers-Sox game Sunday night, and they threw it to Curt Schilling in the booth. Or was it? Schilling has gained so much weight and lost so much hair. Before I heard him speak, I would have sworn it was Fred. They look identical. They showed him on the screen, and I thought, what's Fred doing there? Look up a pic if you don't believe me. Fred, you have a twin. The question is, did you ever look like Schilling in his prime?
It's funny because he's fat.
That's great.
So in consecutive emails or within three emails, we've
right.
made fun of my appearance and your appearance, Fred.
Well, Andy's not here, so the listeners have to make up for the loss.
I like it. I like that they feel comfortable enough that they can say that to us.
That guy in a little coat.
Now, a lot of people have said, oh, you look like Curt Schilling.
You do.
Always.
We do look a little
like
Schilling.
For a long time.
And yeah. he has unquestionably put on weight, which I think has added to the resemblance.
Screw you! Logan writes in. I don't know if it's Logan Mankins, but he says he's been a long listener to the show. Really enjoyed our work. Couldn't find a more appropriate address to send this to, so... I'm sending it to the web radio, even though there's no reason to read it on the air. So I'll read it anyway. I'm planning to try to buy tickets to my first game, Patriots game. I was hoping you could help me choose which game to attend and how much money I need to spend on the seats. First off, is it worth an extra $24 to sit in the upper level along the sideline instead of in the corner end zone seats? Is the view very much different? I'm on a college budget. An extra $24 per seat. I would say yes to get a little bit higher, but on the sideline rather than in the end zone in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it is. And second, for the night and late afternoon games, is there still public transportation available? I only see a schedule for an early afternoon game. Yeah, for every game, there is a
special schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for every game. And finally, how cold is the stadium for night games in early December? That Monday night Jets game sounds like the most incredible thing ever, but I don't want to freeze.
Well, you're probably going to freeze. It's going to be cold.
I mean,
but you never know.
You never know. It's a crapshoot. It's New England. You can get frigid. You can get balmy. You can get mild. So whatever you want to describe mild as, you could get that.
Yeah, I agree. You buffoon.
I like that commercial, the Soul commercial, Kia, with the hamsters. You can get this, or you can get that.
Okay.
Have you seen that one?
No.
It's like they're rappers. The hamsters
I think I have seen
it. As rappers.
I think I have seen it.
Yeah. I'm very interested in the World Cup.
Are you?
Things are going very well, I think. America, if they
well,
win.
Well, here's what happens.
If U.S. wins,
me.
They're in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They could actually even get in. Without a win, depending on how other things go. But, you know, as is normally the case, Freddie, you get me sucked into this nonsense.
Yeah.
So I watched a game last week. It happened to be on at 10 a.m. here, and we were in the office on Friday watching the game against, was it Slovenia?
Slovenia. Yeah.
Okay. And what happens?
Oh,
they fall
God.
Behind 2-0, which yep. is, you know, insurmountable in
yeah.
that sport. They make this miraculous comeback and actually score a goal to go ahead.
Yep.
And... I've asked every soccer person in this building, and believe me when I tell you, folks, there are a lot of them.
Yep.
They're not just Freds who kind of passively watch. Oh. These are people that work in soccer for a living. No one can tell me why the goal was overturned. Yeah. I've read every story since. The guy who made the call has supposedly had some sort of expedited review and came out unfavorably. Still, nobody has told me what he called.
Right.
Why he called the goal back.
Unbelievable.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the bottom line is, which I told you after the game, Mike Pereira called and said the call was right.
Ba-dum-bum.
There you go. But, that, you know, that's you know, what I get for getting involved in a sport like this where it's utter lawlessness. I mean, let's call it what it is. There are no rules. No one knows what happened.
Right.
No one knows why.
No. And do you see what goes on in that box on a set play like
right.
that? I mean, they're just, you know, basically tackling guys.
I will say the last 15 minutes of that game was quite entertaining. I watched it in your office with you and Scavolino or Scalavino, as they say, in the open.
Yep.
It was quite entertaining. But unfortunately, I think the U.S. was robbed out of
They was robbed.
They were robbed
Absolutely.
Out of the 3 points.
But
see, I knew that. Three points for
you know.
A win.
At the end of the day, they'll probably advance anyway, but if for any reason they didn't, I mean,
well, they're going to have to. They got to do some work here.
Oh, I know. Sam in New Zealand has a little joke. Andy's not here, but we'll do it anyway. It's a knock knock joke. Knock knock. Who's there? I'm a pile up. I'm a pile up. Who?
Definitely Andy humor.
Yes.
Ba-da-bump.
That would be good for the kids. Another ticket question. Ben from Vermont via England. He has tickets to see the first ever Patriots game. I'll be seeing the game versus Baltimore on October 17th. You guys are talking about how bad Route 1 is after the game. A couple of other people have told me it takes hours to get from the stadium to the interstate. Do you have any advice on where to park? Should I just go check out Patriot Place for a couple hours? Should I leave the stadium 5 minutes early when the Patriots are up by 30 and Hoyer comes in? Well, assuming that the game does go to the end, I would say if you're not in a hurry, just go up to Patriot Place. Maybe make a reservation before the game for a restaurant, you know, so that, you know, you have a table. And go have a meal after the game. What time is the Ravens game? Is it an afternoon game?
I think it's a 1 o'clock, isn't it?
Yeah, so, you know, so make a reservation.
Do you have that, Brian? Can you look up the Ravens game? What time that was?
Make a reservation for 5:15 at a restaurant up in Patriot Place and have dinner after the game. And by the time you get out, it'll be easy peasy.
Yeah, I would agree with Fred. There are a couple of things you can do, but I'd also say that I don't think it will take you hours to get down Route 1.
Yeah.
You know, it's the traffic is tough leaving an NFL stadium, but I don't think it'll take you that long. The
Ravens game is at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, so 5:15 reservation should do it. 5:30 if you want to be safe. And have a nice meal after the game and leisurely leave Fox Gillette Stadium. You'll be fine.
It's also mid-October, so it should still be relatively nice.
Yeah. You know, you might as well enjoy the surroundings. You can even, I don't know, do they open up the hall after the game, Hall of Patriot Place?
Presented by Raytheon.
I thought the hall was not open on game day.
Well, it isn't during the game and before it. I know that. But maybe at a certain point he opens it up. Maybe Brian Morey, maybe we can get Brian Morey on the phone.
Do we have to?
Well, you know, he's always good for a conversation. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. John...
In L.A.?
In Lynn. But I've been eyeing Shirley's great big tracts of land, he says.
Oh, okay.
I like the way Andy not only talks over Fred while he was reading my last email, but then argues with a point that I never raised. Not that he actually listens to anyone else's arguments while others are talking, and he's not talking over them. He's usually busy crafting his next statement or retarded retort. I wrote nothing about Asante Samuel, who they should have kept, or the Pro Bowl, but that's what Andy wanted to go on about, so he decided to disagree with an entirely different topic. I've never said Mankins isn't a good player, but like all the old linemen on that day, he sucked at the time they most needed him to step up. The way they all bent over for the Giants that day, for any of them to have the gall to call himself the best at his position is wrong. Whether they go or stay on the team is irrelevant. Drew Brees didn't spend the Super Bowl with his face in the turf. When any player's performance dips, when the pressure is greatest, he is called a choker and his value is affected. Although an irritant, I do concede that Andy is an important ingredient to the show. Between his foolishness, Fred's revolving positions, Paul's constantly taking the bait, and Eric is fodder, the show comes together similar to an explosive compound like gunpowder. Get the mixture proportions right, and what goes in as web radio football talk comes out as orange firewater.
John, don't give away the secrets, my friend.
Also,
you're giving away too many shop secrets.
Also, for such a warrior, Mankins acts like a big baby with his hurt feelings. Nobody may ever know exactly what word was given to him by Kraft, but they are shrewd businessmen, and the wording was probably open enough to interpretation to drive a truck through. For him to shy away from the battlefield of negotiation is just weird. And good, Fred, good on finding a barbershop where you can get a happy ending. That is, when you're not getting off thinking of St. Brady. I told my elderly brother about this, and he said his bursitis was acting up. I don't know what that has to do with a happy ending. Anyway. Oh, and my condolences to Paul on North Korea's World Cup trouncing.
That's just wrong.
Were you rooting for
North Korea? That's quite wrong. You can call me the who's the guy? TG made fun of my hair and whatnot. That's okay. That's inbounds. I'm not a sympathizer with North Korea.
With his dear leader.
The third?
Yeah.
Remember when they were calling him the third?
No. That guy needs to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Mita
I'm
Perel
sorry.
Called him Kim Jong the third. That was a classic. Anyway, I'm going to put a smile on John's face right now because I'm going to actually take the bait on his email, which is what he always accuses me of and which I always do.
Weren't you really mad at him at the end of last show, Paul?
No, Andy was. That's why he directed that at Andy. Andy was all over, but no, he wouldn't even let you read the email.
You walked down the hall after last show really muttering to yourself.
Oh, I don't think that was about John.
Oh, it wasn't?
But it could have been. I like John. He's a solid addition. I don't think that poor performance. I totally agree with his assessment of the Super Bowl performance of the offensive line, but I don't think one bad performance means that you can't be considered among the best. And I would point out also that you said that you didn't remember Drew Brees, with his face in the turf all day. Well, you know what I do remember? Drew Brees with his face in the turf all first quarter until Dwight Freeney couldn't play anymore. Do you recall that injury that Dwight Freeney had heading into that game?
Yeah.
And then he couldn't play anymore? There was a big-time shift in that game when Freeney could no longer get to the quarterback. The first several times that Brees dropped back to pass, he was harassed. Now, that's not Jari Evans' fault. He's an edge rusher. But I'm just, as a point of fact, there was a big-time shift in that game when Freeney was no longer able to physically get after the quarterback.
Although, I do agree with one point. To be considered the best, you have to play your best in the biggest situations. You know, that's where a lot of these guys...
Are you telling me that he hasn't played well in the biggest situations?
No. Who, Logan Mankins?
Yeah.
Well, since he's been here, they haven't had a lot of the big situations like they had in the past. But, you know, that's where a lot of these guys come down off their perches, you know, especially quarterbacks. When it comes to the big situations, they don't do as well.
Yeah, it's a little different for a guard, I think. But yeah. I understand what your point is, and I agree with John about the performance in the Super Bowl. He was awful.
You got to beat the best.
He was awful in the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Colin from Brussels, what's with the 30-minute argument last week over who Robert Kraft is going to kick out the door when Brady and Belichick decide they can't work with each other anymore? I mean, really. I'm all for academic arguments, but can we keep it on the planet Earth? Can you see any parallel?
Right. Now, this one I'm going to interrupt you on, and I'm going to take the bait strongly. The Brady-Belichick debate is one of the most talked-about New England sports arguments of the century. So to suggest – this is not about – Andy brought it up in a way where Robert Kraft had to decide between one of them. But basically the question is, who do you think has been more important to the Patriots' success, Belichick or Brady? That's the argument. And that's not a dumb argument. That's not a silly sports radio fabricated thing. That's what's your opinion? Who do you think has been more important to the team's success, the quarterback or the coach?
Well, I look
do you
at,
think that's silly? Because I don't.
It's a good argument. All of these are.
There's no right answer to it. Yeah. I mean, it's opinion. It's strictly subjective.
Let's see. In fact, here's six scenarios I think are more likely to happen. Says Colin. One, Eric gets his dream date with Cutie Patrooney and gets lucky. Oh, there's no way. Two, Fred gets a job as an underwear model. Well, could happen. Andy goes on Brokeback Mountain camping trip with Gronk and Sanders.
That could legitimately happen.
Yeah. No, screw you, Andy. Andy's not here, but I'm sure if he was, he would say that. Paul gets cast as this summer's Hollywood action hero.
No, that couldn't happen.
Well, if the scenario was beating up women in parking lots,
fiction,
you get
fiction,
that,
fiction,
you
know? Fiction. Oh, fiction. I have a good story to tell.
Wow. Doc quits dipping.
That ain't happening.
No. And Tomash becomes the Republican nominee for president in 2012.
Now you're just being silly.
Yeah. At least nobody was 99.9% sure of anything in this argument. Just kidding. Great stuff. Keep it coming.
Yeah. I have a good one for you, Freddie.
Yeah.
First time my son is 5.
First time he was 5?
No, the first time that I have dropped the F-bomb in front
when
of him.
When he was 5?
He's 5. And I went 5 years without dropping the F-bomb, and it was a road rage incident. But it was a guy. It wasn't a woman. I'm sorry to disappoint.
Oh.
But it was one of those guy, I'm on just a regular street, and there's a guy taking a left in front of me. So the guy behind me, four-wheel Joe, has to, swerve around me because you can't just wait in the line of traffic. Even though it wasn't a two-lane road, it was only one lane. So I didn't realize what was happening until all of a sudden the car in front of me finally takes the left. I start forward. Now I have an SUV directly next to me. And I had to swerve on the other side of the double yellow line to avoid him smashing into the side of the car. So, you know, then the guy, he gives me the palms up look, you know, to the sky, like, what are you doing? Like, it's my fault that the guy couldn't wait literally 10 seconds for the car in front of me to take a left.
Right.
So I keep going now, and I end up having to swerve around him, and he gives me this look. So I call him, you know,
right,
an effing a-hole with my two kids in the back seat.
What the fuck?
To which, immediately repeated, Will goes, why is he an effing a-hole? And then TJ says, hey, Dad, why you say effing a-hole?
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is spiraling out of control in a hurry. I didn't make a smirk. I didn't laugh. I didn't say it. I didn't get mad at him for saying it. I just said, nah, it's nothing, guys. Don't worry about it. Forget about it.
Actually, I'm not even mad.
So far, so good, but I just know.
Oh, it'll come back.
I just know the next time, like, Beth is out with the kids and they're driving around and someone cuts Beth off, someone's going to say in the back, what an effing a-hole.
Right. It'll come back to you. Cormac says, sadly, I've missed the shows the last couple of weeks as my father passed away. Oh, sorry about that. He suffered from motor neuron disease, better known in the States as Lou Gehrig's disease.
It's an awful disease.
Sorry about that. Anyway, I was hoping
PFW sends its heartfelt condolences.
Yes. I was hoping you guys might take a few moments just to recap anything important I may have missed, as I probably won't get to listen to the shows I missed. I read on PFW in Progress something about Eric interviewing the new Patriots Today presenter, and of course, minicamp happened, and I read Mankins wants a trade. If you could give a brief recap on minicamp and how the Pats looked, I'd really appreciate it.
But I was a major bobblehead.
Minicamp was quite uneventful, with the exception of the Mankins story, which you are aware of now. Mankins did not show up, and just before the start of minicamp, told everybody he wouldn't be coming, and basically said he no longer wish to be a Patriot. He wants to be traded. He claims that the organization promised him that they would deal with his situation this offseason, and by all accounts, they have offered him a lucrative contract extension that would have made him one of the top five paid guards, and he admitted that he got the offer because his agent, Frank Bauer, actually declared it being 20% lower than that Jari Evans received. So that's basically the Logan Mankins situation in a nutshell. He's not happy. Seems like the team is in the right based on what we know, and he's claiming that he is one wanting to be traded. On the field, I think we saw a lot of excitement in terms of some of the new guys, particularly on offense. No hitting, no pads at minicamp, so it's hard to evaluate everything, but certainly liked the athleticism on the part of the new receivers. We talked about Gronkowski and Hernandez, Taylor Price, some of the other guys that have been out there. Torrey Holt, as a veteran, looks like he could contribute both as a mentor and as an extra receiver. So, yeah, there was a lot of excitement at minicamp, but not a lot to really evaluate yet because they're not hitting yet. We don't see any of the any real competitive situations. It's all evaluation right now. It's all teaching right now, not evaluation.
Right. It's a teaching camp.
And I'm not sure what else he missed.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Webradiopatriots.com. Dave writes in. He's from Alexandria. I guess that's Virginia.
Yes.
Hey, guys, and yes, even you, Eric, and despite my initial lack of enthusiasm, I must admit that you are now a core member of the PFW team. I mean, it just wouldn't feel like PFW if we didn't have the witty banter about your flirtations with the new girl, Lindsay, your inability to hit a 30-yard field goal, and yes, your keen ability to trace pictures and call it art.
Beaver Stadium.
So you've made the team. Just don't get all pompous and pull a Mankins on us. You know, it's interesting you bring up the art, Dave, because we were having a discussion yesterday in Paul's office, me, Paul, and Andy. Eric wasn't there. But I was remembering, the fact is Eric has never been paid for any of his artwork. But I remember in high school having to take an art class, and our art teacher said, look, the only difference between what you just did and a professional is they got paid for their work. So I took what I painted and brought it to the cafeteria and actually sold it for $5. So I can actually honestly say that I sold a piece of artwork before Eric did. And that's the God's honest truth.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to remind.
I can't wait till Thursday.
I'm going to remind him of that when he gets.
He'll be
stop
crying.
Stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
So I became a pro artist before Eric did. That's a true story.
It's a true
Toyota.
Story. You can use that.
True story. So, guys, it looks like the Mencken story has been quiet for the past few days, which doesn't bode well for a cheerful ending. If Mencken's cared about playing for the Pats and saw the public reaction to his comments, he would have backtracked immediately and said he made a mistake in a heated interview. But no luck, so I'm betting that he's out the door one way or another. Which brings me to two questions. First, what do you think is the likely result of a trade for Mencken's draft picks or perhaps a straight-up trade for someone else? Are there any trades in mind that you guys think are realistic and could help the Pats this year rather than building up our 2011 draft picks? It's hard to say. I don't know. Again, you're trading for a guard, and, you know,
I'm going to guess draft picks.
The Patriots are saying, you know, look, he's a Pro Bowl guard. He's one of the best at his position. But, you know, other positions are more highly valued. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a tough one to sort of forecast. I mean, there's always a chance, you know, that with this particular year, with all of the disgruntled players out there, maybe you trade one problem for another. Maybe that the likelihood is a little higher than most years because there's so many guys like Mankins out there that are restricted free agents that should be unrestricted based on the previous CBA, and they're not. And maybe you'll work something out there. But I'm with you, Fred. I don't think that Mankins, as a guard, even though he's a very good one, I don't think he warrants a tremendous amount in return.
What the Patriots and Mankins need is like a third party. Someone to come in and say, look, Logan, you know, come back to the table.
I just wonder how much Logan is willing, how far Logan is willing to go. There was a story in the Herald today. It had five questions, five questions, you know, to keep an eye on between now and training camp, you know, after mini camp. And one of them was about Mankins, obviously. And in the summation, it sort of said that it'll be interesting to see if he's willing to risk millions that he will not get back unless he gets the trade in a new contract. Well, he's not risking millions. He's risking $1.5 million is all. Real, right?
Right.
You know, and I know that's a lot of money to me and you, Fred, but for him, he's trying to get out of here. He's not risking $10 million to get out of here. In all likelihood, next year he will be a free agent. And he'll be able to go anywhere he wants. And the only thing he's going to get from New England this year is a 1.5,
you know,
whatever
I,
million.
I think
it's 1.54 million.
I think we've mentioned this before, but, well, actually, there's going to be a new CBA. But, in the past, when players don't play and they sit out, there's that risk that, okay, now you're extending you're becoming a free agent by a year because you're wasting a year.
Right.
And you have up to week 10 to make that decision?
Yeah,
that right?
It depends on how your situation. There's a 30-day rule that if you, I've been reading about this with Florio a little bit the last few days. You have until 30 days before the first game. So you can hold out at the start of training camp and get there by the first week in August, generally, and you'd be all right in terms of getting your accrued season. I don't know how much people look at that specifically as opposed to the week 10 thing, but that's for people under contract that are holding out.
Right.
You know, Darrell Revis would be subject to that. That doesn't hold any water with Logan Mankins.
That's true.
And that's why I say he's only risking $1.5 million because that's his contract if he signs it. He's not under contract.
But he's not under contract, but if he remains not under contract, he doesn't get an accrued season.
He doesn't need an accrued season. More than likely. If a new CBA is
put
into place,
right. We don't know.
More than likely, he won't need an accrued season
to
become a free agent. Five.
Yeah, he has five already under his belt.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, some people have said that they might increase free agency to 5 or 6 years. And matter of fact, Florio, in that 30-day thing that I read yesterday, sort of speculated that. I've talked to some people, and they don't think that it's going to go.
There's no way they can do that and get a rookie salary cap.
They
can't do that.
They don't think that's going to happen. And I talked to a cap guy recently, and he said he didn't see that. Now, he's not involved in the negotiations, so it's by no means an insider, but he does hear stuff, and he's more tuned into what certainly the organization is thinking as opposed to what we're thinking. I can't imagine the players are going to let it go from 4 to 6. They might let it go from 4 to 5, Fred, as a compromise.
Yeah.
But 4 to 6, that's a big difference in a league where the average playing career is less than 4.
They won't be able to do that and do a rookie salary cap.
I agree
with you. It's one or the other.
I agree with you.
You know, maybe like if I was an owner, what would you, if you had to pick one, what would you rather have, a salary, a rookie salary cap or free agency at 6 years? What would you rather have? I think I'd take the free agency 6 years.
If you were the owners?
Yeah, if I was
the owner. Oh, yeah.
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 So there's no way they're going to get both.
Because the rookie salary thing,
it only affects
really,
the top
exactly.
10.
Exactly. Most of the teams aren't affected by it.
Right, right.
And let's face it, if you pick the right guy, it's not an issue.
Yep. Sup, Paul. Sup, Fred. I wanted to chime in on the soccer comments made by Mr. Perillo, and I agree. Just too long and too boring for me to endure. But if there's anything to love about the World Cup is the game festivities. I stumbled upon that Univision channel, and my gosh, I see all the hot Latin women jumping around in tight shirts and tiny shorts talking about who knows what. So let the games begin. And as soon as they do, I change the channel. But how's but how's this for some off-season banter? How about we pull a Goodell on FIFA, and make some rule changes to make the sport more enjoyable and exciting to watch? High scoring, I say this, no goalie. You leave the net clear but have one player on each team who can use his hands but can't get in that box that surrounds the net. Sort of like how football has a QB, basketball has a PG?
Point guard,
oh. Baseball has a P, that's a pitcher. No, he wrote a pitcher. He could be their version of that, just a thought. Here's what I think they should do.
I'm not surprised that Fred has a suggestion.
The basically, in soccer, they divide up the field in thirds. There's a middle third in the thirds at the end. I think once the ball is in the end thirds, there's no offsides. You can go anywhere you want. Like, I'm not for a guy just hanging back there all game, but once the ball is in the back third, get rid of the offsides. That's one thing. The other thing I would suggest thinking about is a shot clock. What you do is you put a net behind the goal, because if you have a shot clock, then there's going to be too many balls out of bounds and stoppages of play.
Well, the ball's constantly out of bounds anyway.
Well, you put a net, a huge net behind the goal.
When they kick it out of bounds on purpose, I think they should eliminate that.
Well, that's a sportsmanship thing.
Well, that's part of the
tactical
play.
Well, I don't mind that. But
if you're in trouble one-on-one, you just kick it out of bounds.
What I'm saying is that once you have the ball in your possession, the shot clock starts, and maybe it's a minute and a half.
Okay.
You have to take a shot. It will increase the shots. You put this huge net behind both goals so the shots never go out of bounds. They come right back and play. I think that would be interesting.
Arena soccer?
Well,
isn't that like the indoor game?
It's kind of, but it's still not, you know, the field is 10 times bigger than an arena game. But I think that would be, you know, a lot more shots.
I used to watch a lot of those MISL games when I was little.
Yeah.
They were on, remember PIX, WPIX
in
New York?
Channel 11.
They always had those games on, the New York, whatever they were.
Yeah.
I forget their name. Arrows, maybe?
I think they should think of those two things. No offsides when the ball's in the back third, and a shot clock with a net behind the goal to keep the ball in play.
All right, Toyota, you look like you had some
comments. That would
get
rid of corner kicks, but who cares?
You had some comments.
No, I was just going to say it sounds like hockey with your offsides rule. Kind of sounds like hockey.
A little bit, yeah.
I actually think that offsides should just be done away with because I think it would promote a lot of skill.
I just think the field's too big to not have offside. You know, if you have, like, a really good defenders that can play a man down, you just hang a guy by the goal and your goalie just punts it downfield, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Great offense.
Yeah, I just think.
They'll
it,
never do it
I think
because
it'd be just
it's,
too
you know,
cheap.
The beautiful game.
Yeah, it's just too cheap. You got to work for the goal. You can't just allow easy goals like that. But I think that, you know, I think it's reasonable not to have an offside when the ball's in the low back third. Come on. You know, man up.
Hey, I'm
check
with you.
Check your man and don't let him get, you know, behind you. That's all.
I'm with you.
You know, maybe they could have a crease.
Although isn't that the penalty area?
No, there's no goalie crease. You can step inside that penalty area as long as there's a guy with you. You can go in that, you know. It's not like lacrosse or hockey. But the purists would never, ever change those rules.
They would never change any rule.
Yeah. What else does he say about it? No goalie. Oh, I read the whole email. That was it. He didn't have any.
It still bothered me. I had something of reasonable interest.
Yeah, that's really bothering
me. In the NFL, and I can't come up with it. It was during one of your emails early, and it came to mind. I didn't want to interrupt your email, and now I can't remember.
Well, you know.
Sorry, we had a few emails, Freddie, talking about Bobby McCray, who is an edge rusher type that was released recently, yesterday, I think, by New Orleans. He's like a 6'6", 260 kind of a guy, so he would fit the profile of one of those guys that maybe Bill would take a flyer on as an outside linebacker. He's only 28, so he's not over the hill or anything. He's been a reasonably productive pass rusher. I think he had 7.5 sacks last year for the Saints. It'd be interesting, if, you know, maybe a late addition, but I think, again, that's one of those things. You might want to see what you have and then figure out when you get to, you know what I mean, when you get into training camp and see how these guys are all going to pan out.
Right. This Jermaine Cunningham could be
could be special. Second round pick. I'm expecting him to be able to play.
Sam says, thanks for the relaxing show. Without Andy and Eric, it sounds like a relaxing conversation around a backyard picnic table. No yelling or Eric correcting the verbiage of locations or sentences. You should have some cake with your lazy Foxborough afternoon.
That's a good idea. You know what makes it a quiet, afternoon?
I would like some cake.
Tomas, can you get us some cake?
Sure.
All right, thanks. What happens when Eric and Andy aren't here, Paul and Fred don't argue.
Well, we do sometimes, but not as much.
Rarely.
Yeah.
We don't have the regular arguments where, you know, we yell at each other for 15 minutes, and then we both say, right, right. It doesn't really happen when they're not here. So I'm going to blame it on Andy.
Well, I kind of like it when they're here. I like arguing.
Well,
yeah. This is what you guys always do. You change my
I think it goes without saying that I enjoy a good argument here or there.
All right. It's the 1:15 break. We'll be right back with more after this.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules.
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on...
Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines. Back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably a mission statement right there.
Wow. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was the 485. So I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I don't know. Those celebrity droppings. We should have more celebrity droppings.
I love that one.
Doc, I mean, Toyota. You know, people from around the stadium dropping in.
What the hell
quotes.
Are you guys up to now?
Yeah, stuff like that. That would be good.
I'm listening to that, and I'm like, oh, I was going to say 485. What was that about?
I don't know.
What could we have been talking about?
I could say something, but it would be I'd be like Andy.
My weight?
Right.
Bad guy.
Well, you know, you asked.
I mean, really, 485, Fred?
It's a joke.
Really?
I'm not.
Really?
I'm just joking.
You?
Drunk and stupid.
I wasn't the one who was compared to Kurt Schilling in
this show. I understand, but jokes are hyperbole. You know, you exaggerate. That's what makes them funny. See, now, if Andy has said it, you wouldn't.
Am I here to amuse you?
Yeah. We're here
First
to amuse
of all,
everybody.
Andy's beaten me down. I can no longer even bother getting upset about all of his shots. I would have no more time in the day.
Nothing was funnier to me than the story of Ferreira getting hit in the face with the bidet.
With the bidet?
That was classic. I could just...
Then he was scrubbing his face trying
Oh, my God. With the butt water.
Butt water.
Oh, I can just see that happening. Oh, my God. Let's see. Mike in Ireland says, Paul, just to fill you in on the USA versus Slovenia, from what I could see, Clint Dempsey fouled his marker. And that is what the referee saw, which is amazing because there were two Slovenians doing the exact same thing. But most referees give the decision to the defending team as they are afraid to give the penalty to the attacking team. Soccer really needs video replay for goal mouth decisions.
Yeah, that'd be fine if they came out and said what they called, but
right,
they won't.
Right.
And I think you have someone on the line, Freddie.
Oh, we do. On the line right now is Mike from Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
I am well. How you guys doing over there?
We're doing great.
What's up, Mike?
I'm just doing my annual training here with my unit in Puerto Rico. Took some time off to call you guys, see what's up.
All right.
Well,
not a whole lot up, though, unfortunately.
The more I read about your reports and the blogs and stuff like that regarding Aaron Hernandez, it gets me thinking, what did we get for David Thomas?
A seventh-round pick.
What was it, a fifth? A sixth?
Seventh. I might have got. It might have got. You might be right. It might have gotten improved to a sixth. I think originally it was a seventh, but it was a conditional. So it may be a sixth.
Is there anything you're seeing out of Hernandez that you didn't see in David Thomas when he first came in?
I would say that Hernandez looks a little quicker. He's faster than David Thomas. But your larger point, I would agree with. I think we saw David Thomas do a lot of those things. I think Hernandez is a better athlete. I think he's faster.
But more in the same sense, looking at what David Thomas was able to accomplish with the Saints, don't you think this was sort of a head scratcher? Exactly what went on? Was it that penalty against the Colts that cost us a game? Might have been something that was, you know, maybe weighing him down. Maybe it contributed to the decision of letting him go or trading him.
Yeah, it's a great question. I really don't know, and I can't imagine that it was all about that one penalty against the Colts in that game. But, yeah, it was a strange thing. He was a reasonable part of the offense to that point, And from that point on, he was invisible, and then they traded him the next training camp. I didn't understand it, and it seems like they've sort of replaced him. Now, I think they've replaced him with a potentially better player. Like I said, I think Hernandez could give you more athletically than David Thomas. But, yeah, I think you make a good point.
And he could actually play wide receiver up to a point. He could line up as a wide receiver with the speed that he's showing. I think, what was it, 4.52, 4.55?
Yeah, he's going to be away from the line, but he's a tight end. I mean, I don't think that – it's one of those guys. It's like they used to say that about Ben Watson, who ran a 4.5 whatever, too, when he came out. He's fast for a tight end. I don't think he's going to be fast for a wide receiver. But, yeah, you can definitely get Hernandez out in space in the slot as an H-back. You can put him – you could trail him across the middle. I think they're gonna look to create mismatches with him, and I think he will create matchup problems because I do think he has a rare skill set for that position.
What do you guys think about, and just bringing it together, when David Givens first came in, and I know you said something that they drafted him by mistake or under unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, sort of by accident.
Because he was a local, sort of by accident, okay.
Yeah.
Compare what you first saw when he came in. He didn't have a position, right? David Givens, he played defense and he played offense at the same time, correct? Over at Notre Dame?
I don't recall that. I only recall him being a little used wide receiver at Notre Dame because that was when they ran a lot of option stuff. That was long before Charlie Weiss got there, and they didn't run a pro-style offense. So he didn't have a tremendous amount of experience catching the ball. He was his major contributions as a rookie for the Patriots were on special teams. But I don't remember him. I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't. I don't remember him playing defense, though.
Do you think Taylor Price compares well with David Givens in his latter days at the Patriots?
Yeah, I do. I think that there's a similarity there in there. I think they're both a little bit bigger, strong guys. They're a little thicker. And I think Price is actually faster. Now, we'll see. I don't think he's faster. I know he's faster than Givens. We'll see what happens with in terms of the system and the toughness. I think that's where Givens paid dividends. He was able to make tough catches over the middle on third down, take some hits, and be a physical presence at wide receiver. He wasn't the biggest wide receiver. He was only like 5'11 or 6 feet like Price. But he was a tough guy. And he could be relied on. You talked about Freddie,
yeah.
Guys that played big in big games.
Yep.
David Givens had a lot of big games in the playoffs.
He sure did.
I think he caught a touchdown pass in, like, every playoff game he played.
He made – I don't know if he's one of those guys that made the easy catches look hard and the hard catches look impossible, but he made a lot of, you know, acrobatic catches for Tom Brady on big plays.
Do you realize he's not even 30 years old yet?
Yeah, I have a quick little update on David Givens, by the way.
He actually sold artwork before Eric.
I was reading another one. I was reading a – well, I'm going to lead right into that. I was reading a story in one of our local papers up where I live, Freddie. He opened up a smoothie store.
Oh, yeah?
In Beverly. And part of the decor inside, he did with some of that, you know, like faux painting. I think there's like some Roman columns and stuff like that. And he did it himself. He was an industrial arts, I think, major at Notre Dame, something like that. And, there was a nice little piece on him in the Salem Evening News.
Nice. Okay.
Well, I appreciate the time. Great solo show, Paul, so far.
Mike, I'm a little disappointed you didn't get me to go from zero to hot in this call. You're losing your touch.
No. I mean, I just had a couple of questions, and you had all the right answers because apparently nobody else is contributing today.
Well,
it's just
Fred and I.
Stuffing their mouth.
If you're not, you're probably not listening. It's just Fred and I. Andy and Eric aren't here.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
That's why I had to stoop to the level of actually answering your questions, Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, you guys. Talk to you later.
All right, man.
Go Pats.
All right. This next email is going to really piss. It pisses me off. I don't know about you.
Oh, it's good. Oh, okay. Is Fred going to go from zero to high?
Mensa from the Bronx says, please leave the soccer changes that you were talking about alone.
Oh, okay.
Please
it's going to piss you off then.
Please stick with football you think you know of. The rules for soccer have been around for a long time, so please stick with football. You just started to really learn about soccer for you to
Woo!
Think you know much
Look
about
Look what we got,
it.
Freddie.
Suggest
Cake.
Wow, let me finish this first. To suggest the ridiculous changes that you were talking about, you actually make a mess of what you think you know of with sometimes just stupid and baseless arguments about football. Please keep your mouth shut about soccer. I'll have you know something, Mensa. I played soccer.
Zero to hot.
40 effing years ago, okay, in New Jersey. I started in a league with a German guy. The league ended up being
Franz Beckenbauer?
What is the youth league in New Jersey. But I was there from the start playing soccer long before you ever played soccer, pal. You know, so don't get me going. I don't know the game of soccer. I might act like
I don't know the game of soccer, and I don't care enough about it to make changes. How's that sound, Mensa?
I'm 40.
You know, so don't give me any of that crap. You know, unless you're 60 years old, I've been playing soccer longer than you have.
And I will also say that
that doesn't mean that soccer can't have rule changes. Of course it can.
Well, I was going to make a comment that to go in line with a little bit. I was going to say. There are a lot of sports that have been around for a lot of years that make alterations
to
their rules.
Including baseball.
All of them. You instant replay is part of all the sports now except for soccer because, you know, we can't change the beautiful game.
All right, so while I was on that rant.
We actually did get a cake delivered.
Yes.
This is a first.
It says to Fred Kurtz.
Guys are here, obviously Fred Kurtz, Paul Perillo.
And Paul Perillo, it's a cake, but who's it from?
Is it from Sam?
It's got to be from Sam.
Wow.
Jason
this
said.
This just came? No one called
doctor
it
said
in?
It was just sitting upstairs.
This is a cake from Sam, I assume, from Baskin-Robbins, which is here at Patriot Place.
Which is another plus. Where
You know, I don't take advantage of that enough.
Yeah, Michelle.
Yeah, because you look like you need to take more advantage of that.
Michelle Mew saw it out at reception and brought it to me to bring to you guys.
Oh, that Maura Wilson must be really
beside herself right now. She right now she's pacing back and forth. Right. I can't believe it. These losers. They just buy them stuff. I don't understand.
They sit on the radio, talk nonsense, and people just buy them lunch.
They have this stupid show. Oh, my God. They're talking about the Patriots again.
Attention, you are all losers.
Oh, my God. So that's good. So are we going to just let it sit there? We're going to cut it up. He leaves. He just walks out.
All right.
What, you can't work a knife, Fred?
All right, let's
take another break so we can cut the
cake. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back because we do have a lot more emails.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots Instant Game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots Instant Game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Wow. So
you guys have gone above.
We're guessing Sam.
Above the call.
Sam from Chicago sent us this Oreo green ice cream cake, which is delicious, from Baskin-Robbins. Thank you. If it is you, I think it is. That's just unbelievable dessert. Now we've reached a new level now, Paul. Not only did we get lunch today, we got dessert. You know?
I can't wait to see Andy's face.
What I would like is now a cigar and maybe a single malt scotch.
A happy ending.
Just to kind of wrap it up here. Well, I don't want to go to the happy ending yet, but
okay,
because I might be able to, I might get in trouble with
that. Yeah, that, I think that would finally put us over the edge where we would actually get in trouble.
But a single malt scotch and a cigar would be really nice. I'm only kidding. I get very
embarrassed. You have mixed feelings because it is kind of, you do feel guilty.
It is, in fact, Sam that brought this, so she got it from Baskin Robbins. Great. That is awesome. Thank you, Sam. And how quickly it got here, too. That's impressive. Very good. Let's see. B. Smith writes in, as a Pats fan living in Broncoland, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, I love listening, and thanks for keeping me up to date on the Patriots. I'm excited about some of our young linebackers, especially Spikes, but my question is about Thomas Clayton. What I've read and heard, he sounds to me a lot like Falk, most underrated Patriots ever. With the crowded backfield, could you see Clayton taking some playing time from Falk? Well, I mean, I'd have to see a lot more from Clayton at this point. But, you know, maybe there's not room, you know, if he shows a lot, maybe Morris or
Fred
Taylor.
At some point, the end of the line is going to come for Kevin Falk. I don't know when that is going to be. You know, of course, Andy, you know, had him dead and buried 3 years ago. Clayton's a bigger guy. He's really, really fit. I mean, he is stacked, Fred, for a running back.
Yeah, you guys.
You haven't seen Thomas Clayton yet because you haven't really been out there that much. But he's a really big guy. Look, I don't know enough about him to know what his skill set is, if he could work as a third down back or not, if he could possibly replace Falk someday. But I would be very surprised. I think he's a long shot to make the team. Let's face it. They'd have to get rid of, like you said, a Fred Taylor or a Sammy Morris for him to make it. You know, or Maroney. I mean, somebody would have to go.
Falk's another guy, like Holt, who is a cerebral player. He just knows the right thing to do at the right time. Troy Brown's another guy. He's a good football player. There's nothing about the game of football and his position that Kevin Falk doesn't do well, whether it's picking up the blitz, special teams, you know, catching kickoffs, you know, running, catching out of the backfield. He does it all well enough to have such a long career that he's had. He doesn't do any of them all world, but he does everything to a certain level that a quarterback and a coach can depend on. That's why he's had such a good career here in the Patriots. You know, that's what you're looking for in a guy like to replace Falk. I don't know enough about Clayton to say that he can do that. And Falk didn't do it immediately either. I mean, Falk got better at picking up the blitz as, you know, he stayed in the NFL. He wasn't always that good at that. That might have been his one downfall in his game, but he's really improved in that to become, you know, as dependable as you can get on third down.
I'm just pointing out with Clayton, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know a lot about him, but it's rare that a guy comes in, you know, kind of off the scrap heap and supplants somebody like that. You know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, for example, was an undrafted rookie free agent 2 years ago when he originally made the team, but he didn't really take anybody's job. He made the team as the fifth running back. Now, perhaps Clayton is better than him, and he sort of steals that away. I don't know. I don't, like I said, I don't know enough about him. I would say it's an extreme long shot to come in and suggest that Clayton is better than Kevin Falk or Sammy Morris at this point. Yeah. You know, and takes one of their playing time away
you know,
from them.
The beautiful thing about what Falk does is on third down, it's pretty much hit or miss. You know, you either do or die. You know, it's always a big play third down, no matter what. So when you come in on third down, you know, there's a lot of pressure because it's either that or you're turning the ball over. And it takes really, you know, special players to, you know, to fill that role. And Falk's one of the best. Let's see. Peter writes in, Peter in Northern Ireland, great show as always. I was just wondering why you guys haven't been too high on Brandon Tate. Seems you guys like Price a little bit more. So I was wondering what exactly the difference is. Does Price have better hands, run faster? Are his routes better? From looking at a little college tape, Tate seems pretty explosive. Has his injury really hurt him badly? And a quick side note, I remember some emailer mentioning Father Ted, and I realize how similar the characters are to you guys. There's the fat, old, and drunk priest whose catchphrase is, feck, arse, drink. Clearly, Paul. There's the 30-something priest with the mind of a child, clearly Andy. There's the leader of the group who is always putting his foot in it with outrageous faux pas, Fred. And there's no pseudo-intellectual priest, so I guess the female housekeeper will have to be Eric.
What is this, Father Ted?
Yeah, it's a show in Ireland, I guess, Father Ted.
Oh,
it's a sitcom. Do they call them sitcoms in Ireland? I don't know.
They probably call them situation comedies.
Situation comedies, yeah. Web radio at Patriots.
I would say all of the above. Just for my personal evaluations thus far of Tate and Price, I think Price has looked faster, runs better routes, and shown softer hands. That just based, like I said, no pads, no nothing so far, but on a very small snapshot of minicamp, that's...
Yeah. I mean, with Price, the Patriots definitely, that's a projection because there isn't a lot of competition or players around him in college to get that good an idea of how he's going to be as a pro. They see the raw skills in the guy that they were willing to take a shot on this guy. In the production he had in college was despite being on a team like Miami of Ohio that didn't have
Ohio University, yeah,
that didn't have what did I say, Miami of Ohio,
yeah,
oh, just Ohio University. They're not a big offensive team, so
I agree. And the other thing is, I think Tate is more elusive than flat out fast. Now maybe that might be part of that the knee injury he's coming back from, but he hasn't. I don't think he has shown so far to be blazing fast, but I think as a returner, I think he could be elusive, and he's a little smaller. I like I like the idea of him more in that role as a return man. But there's a long way to go. We'll see at training camp when the pads come on, and we'll see what kind of plays these guys make under some competition.
What's Tate listed as height wise?
I can tell you that in a second.
Because when I see him returning kicks, he looks taller than the average kick returner. I don't know if it's just the way he strides or what, but I know you guys said that Price is taller than him, but he, to me, he looks taller. Anyway, Mark from UK.
He is 6'1".
Yeah.
So he's reasonably tall. He's not a midget.
That's what I thought.
No, he's taller than Price.
Yeah.
I don't think he's bigger than Price, but he's taller.
Okay. Yeah, I did think he was taller because when I look at his strides are a longer stride than the average.
I think Price is listed as 6 feet even.
Okay.
I don't have his height and weight in front of me. But certainly, I think he's bigger up top than Tate is.
Yeah. But I thought Price was, 6'1" for a receiver is pretty tall.
It's fine. That's nothing wrong with that size. No.
Mark says, if we're going to roll with last week's discussion about the best two tight end NFL teams in recent history, if we're going to make this team one with a combination of Crumpler, Gronkowski, Hernandez, how do we do it? What formations, combinations do we put out in the field game day? And what sort of plays are we going to run with these guys? Are we going to try and go long down the field with Hernandez and Gronkowski? And does Gronkowski's ability to block, get down the field to make a play, a key factor in making these tight end tandems work? Yes, I realize this is all hypothetical, he says. Man, I really want to see these work next season. If you have two tight ends that can both block and catch, the world's your oyster. You can do anything. The formations are endless, what you can do with that. And that's the idea, is to have a guy lining up tight to the line who you don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, and I think Gronkowski, he might not be right away. I mean, as a rookie, that's asking a lot, but I think he has that ability to do both.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard for us to come up and tell you what formations they're going to use and all that.
Right.
You know, there's probably no formation that they're going to use this year that they haven't used in the past with Graham and all the other guys, David, Thomas, and Watson. They probably, you know, you've probably seen it all, but how effective they're going to be out of that is the key. And right now, it's looking promising. But, again, they're rookies. You know, you can't expect that much out of them. Francis from Ontario. I know this is maybe off topic, but then again, nothing can really be off topic. I say this year Drew Brees will either get injured early or really have a bad year because he's on the cover of Madden 11. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Madden curse, but every year a player is on the cover of Madden, something bad happens to him.
No, really?
I have heard of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you're making fun of him. Has there been a year?
I don't know if you know, but there's some people that believe that if you appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated, that bad things will happen too.
Right. That's right.
I don't know if you've ever heard that one.
I've heard of the SI.
And you're not supposed to talk about a no-hitter.
Oh, and really, this might be just for Boston people, but before 2004, there was like supposedly the curse of the Bambino, I think, was another name for Babe Ruth.
Right.
And the Red Sox, I guess the legend has it that the Red Sox sold the greatest player in the history of baseball to the New York Yankees, and they never won again.
I just read about that one.
Oh.
But there is a curse that most people don't know about, and that's the PFW in Progress curse. If you are a guest on this show, bad things happen.
You end up not being a Patriot the following year.
Right.
Or sometimes that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's unquestionably, if Andy, Eric, or I are sniffing around your locker, you know, around training camp to write a pulse story or a feature story, you might want to lease and rent and not buy. Let's put it that way.
Right. Don't buy any green bananas.
Because your life expectancy is probably not big if we're writing a story on you.
Right.
That's a legit curse.
So when's your Brady story coming out?
Ooh. Probably not, because he doesn't think it's necessary to talk to anybody.
Matt from Brooklyn, just started listening to PFW in Progress this season. I really like the in-depth analysis, more than you can get in any other media outlet these days. My question is about the Pats running backs. There is so much attention played to Brady in all his new passing options. We really haven't heard much about the running back situation. Is the current stable of guys going to be enough to push this team over the top once again? The running game certainly has been underwhelming over the past several seasons. Does it even matter with Brady at the helm?
I think kind of the latter, to be honest with you. If Brady's playing well, it doesn't matter. I think, yes, the committee they have, I'm fine with. I think that the combination of Maroney, Morris, and Taylor is fine in terms of carrying the football, and I think Falk still is a good option, as we just discussed recently, to handle the third down stuff, don't you?
Sure.
Do you think they need more than the committee?
No.
Because a lot of people are sort of looking for that one lead guy.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that's the cure to all
ills. At times last year, they ran well. Guys got hurt. You know, and then, you know.
But they had a healthy guy all year.
Yeah, but even when Maroney was running well, then he started fumbling. You know, so can they put it all together? And I think if they can, who they have right now is fine. But it's been stop and starts over the last couple years.
I just don't think they want to run the ball enough to make that a huge part. I think they run as a diversion.
Yeah. But it would be nice at the end of games to be able to establish a running game and kill some clock.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, they did it so nicely during that Super Bowl year with Corey Dillon.
Right.
You know, it was a big part of their game plan. Mensa from the Bronx. Is
he all over you?
Oh, you said you played soccer just 40 years ago. I've been playing soccer since you were even born. Yes, I am way older than you, so just shut your mouth and take the advice like a man.
Yeah!
I know what I'm talking about, pal.
Hit him!
I play soccer from grade school to a team level, so don't talk to me about soccer. I know I am far more knowledgeable about soccer than you, guy. I am way older than you,
yeah,
and
guy.
I know you were not even around when I started playing soccer once. Shut your mouth about soccer.
Love it. Shut your pie hole.
Wow.
Because it's garbage.
Yeah, Mensa.
Mensa
from the Bronx.
Taking over the Andy Hart rollers. Yeah. The PFW you know in progress, tough guy.
I'll tell you what. Maybe he is older than me, and maybe he played soccer. I'll.
Good comeback.
I will run circles around him.
You'll beat him in tennis?
I would kick his ass on a soccer field.
Oh, that sounds like another challenge to the Fred Kirsch decathlon.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because
you know, Fred's undefeated in three sports, Mints, right? I feel like I should tell you that.
You know, for any fan of any sport to say, oh, maybe they're you know, there's no way to make my sport better, that's just stubborn.
The only sport I could see that happening in is soccer.
Yeah. I mean, we make fun
baseball
of
too. Baseball's, baseball's elitist.
But we make fun of the NFL, you know, because of the rule change and everything. But at least every year.
I don't make fun of it for that.
Yeah. Every year, the competition committee sits down and says, how can we make our sport better?
There are rule changes they make that I don't agree with.
Right.
I think it's great that they make
but
rule changes every
exactly,
year.
Exactly. They're trying. They're looking. They're evaluating. You know, in baseball, yeah, of the American sports, they're probably the most stodgy. But even they have started to use replay a little bit more where
there have been
in the
alterations.
Past, you would never do that.
There have been alterations to the game. They're trying to find ways to make the game move faster.
Yeah.
In terms of pitch balls, getting
home,
out of the box as a
home
batter.
Home plate umpire checking with the third or first base guy to
never
see if it
used to
swing.
Happen.
Never used
never
to do
used
that.
I mean, they raised and lowered the mound at various points. Not recently,
but that's a good point. They have that. Yeah. They have changed the way the game has been played in regard to that.
But you know, look, you love your sports soccer. That's great, but to say there's nothing you can do to make the sport better is just stubborn. Stubborn.
Wow.
You know, and here's another
what do you think of that, Mensa?
You know, and
stick that in your pie hole.
And one of the things I was thinking about soccer is I love soccer. I think it's a great sport, but here you have this big game, okay? It's so hard to score goals. So let's just say 10 minutes in, something really fluky happens, you have an own goal. It's so hard to make up for that mistake in that sport. That's one of the
things. That's why I would look at it, too, and say it's so hard to score. I've seen some of these World Cup games, and I admit I haven't watched it intently. But in passing, you'll cook a game on, and you'll – you know, the other day, for example, Italy and New Zealand caught my eye, Freddie, because, you know, Italy would be the team after the U.S. that I would root for because I'm Italian. Italy is one of the best teams in the world, right?
Right.
One of the top five teams in the world?
I guess.
New Zealand was like 78th.
Right.
There was no difference. Right. Yeah, Italy controlled the play, and they had the better chances. And certainly in the second half, it was almost all played in New Zealand's end. But they never really sniffed scoring a goal.
Yeah.
They had some shots, but the goalie made some save. I mean, for the most part, he made one diving save with one hand in the time that I was watching. Everything else was routine catches that you or I could have made.
Yeah.
So even with the enormous discrepancy in talent, it's so hard to score.
Right.
You know, one team didn't even belong on the field with the other if you matched them up man for man, player for player. It wasn't like one just played better as a team. It's just the nature of the game.
Right.
It's so hard to score that even when you're that much better, it's hard to do it. Now, look, there was a 7-0 game yesterday.
Right.
So they found a way.
Well, that's because Kim Jong-il was facing the wrong way.
Kim Jong the third.
He was sending his brainwaves the wrong direction. On the phone right now is Chris.
Mensa.
Chris from Stanford. Chris, how you doing?
It is. Yeah, Fred, I'm really looking forward to you and Mensa in that one-on-one soccer game.
I'm telling you, I'm ready.
I think they should do soccer, Chris, and then they should do a boxing match.
Exactly.
To add to the decathlon.
They used to call me Crazy Legs Kirsch.
Yeah, you should do it on a full field. That would be awesome.
They actually did used to call him Crazy Legs Kirsch.
I was just wondering, a couple days ago I watched a DVD of the 2001 Pat season, and I had forgotten what a fun season that was. And it seems like in the last few years, maybe it's expectations or injuries or whatever, it hasn't been all that much fun watching this hat. So I'm wondering what it would take, like two or three, four things that you guys are looking for this year to make this season enjoyable. And not even you know, going to the playoffs, we expect, but winning the Super Bowl. But just in terms of watching the season throughout, what do you think would make it a lot more fun to watch?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the thing that frustrates me, and I know it's part of the game of football, but injuries. If we can have a relatively injury-free season, that just makes it much more enjoyable to start with.
Yeah, I hate injuries, but, I mean, obviously they're inevitable. So you're saying, Chris, you know, beyond the obvious, I want the team to win more games, how do they go about playing that would be more enjoyable? Is that what you're sort of asking?
Yeah, it just seems like last year the team, it's almost like they got worse as the season went along. And you know, we all look at Wes Welker getting hurt, but Wes Welker wasn't going to play run defense. So
and Wes Welker didn't get hurt until the playoffs. Chris, I mean, he got hurt in Houston.
I think you just touched on it, because I know among us here at on the show, we all thought that the defense would start slow and then gain, you know, momentum as a season. And it really was the opposite. And I think what I'd like to see is a lot of these young defensive guys really contribute and, you know, see a really ball-hawking team on defense. To me, that would make it enjoyable, where every game the opposing offense is worried about our defense. That you know, as a fan, that gives you confidence going into every game.
Yeah, and I would agree with Fred. I would stick with the defense. I think they haven't had championship-caliber defense in quite some time now, and a return to that, I think, would make it more enjoyable. Because I think, I understand the theory, and I would agree with the theory that they had a lot of games last year that they lost because ultimately they couldn't convert offensively, whether that be one more score, a late score to complete a comeback, or a first down to prevent the other team from getting the ball and a chance to come back. That's all. I'm in agreement on all of that. If the Patriots were typical Patriots offensive execution last year, they would have probably won three more games minimum. But to me, it's losing sight of the fact that they then coughed up the lead when the offense couldn't close the door. In other words, in 2007, when I maintained, this defense isn't as good as it looks because the offense bails it out. Well, last year, the offense didn't bail it out.
Right.
Instead of scoring 30 points a game, they were only around 22 last
Denver.
Year, or 24, Denver. And they lost games because the defense, quite simply, isn't good enough.
Right.
That would make it more enjoyable if what you said happens. Ball hawking, pass, you know, pass rush, those kinds of things in big spots, if those became more prevalent next year, I think it would make it more enjoyable.
Right. And Parcells used to say it best. He said, you know, I know they're individual units, the offense and defense, but each gives them the other hope. You know, when you're on the sideline and you're the defense, if your offense is playing well, it gives you hope. You know, it
how many of those teams did
game?
You look at, you know, not so much Patriots teams, but there's been some teams that had number one ranked defenses, and they weren't very good teams.
Yeah.
And you looked and you said, well, geez, defensively their numbers aren't that great. But it doesn't take into consideration how much pressure.
Right.
They can't allow even first downs.
Right.
Change the field position and change the tenor of the game, and there's just no margin for error. And I think that a lot of ways – that's how it's worked that way in reverse for the Patriots. They've had to score almost every time they get the ball because they know the other team is going to score when they have to. And that's what happened last year. When the other team needed to score, it scored almost every time.
Yeah.
My other little thing, you guys were talking about Thomas Clayton. I am going to early nominate him for the preseason player of the year.
Yeah, he'll be one of those guys.
Yeah,
you're right.
There'll definitely be a big call for him. He's going to shred some second-ranked defenses.
Yep.
And,
he'll get some carries. That's a good call, Chris. He'll get some carries, and he'll impress.
Yeah, he's probably going to get the Justin Rogers Award for the guy we should have kept. Oh, did you guys get the masseuse I ordered?
Is that coming, so to speak?
Oh, she's not there. Oh, it's a shame she's not there.
That's too bad. That would have been nice, too, after the cigars
single malt scotch.
I got to go ahead and get some ice cream.
Yeah, cool.
Good call.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, Chris, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Let's see. Josh writes in, Paul, he says the Italy team is a really old team that is run, whose run is coming to an end.
No, I know, but still, New Zealand stunk.
Right.
That was the point I was trying to make.
And Nano says it's bizarro day on PFW. Fred is arguing that he's older and knows soccer better than a listener. Will Paul start arguing that he's fatter than listeners who write in? And also, what's up with Eric and Andy making sure they take all their mandated vacation? Do these two think they work at the DMV? I don't know. But Eric is very good about taking every last hour of his vacation.
Eric has never missed out on an opportunity. Andy and I have let some opportunities slip through our fingers over the
years. I'll hand it to Eric. He does, you know, he travels. He uses his vacation well, you know.
Yeah, and I also will hand it to you.
Yeah.
In that I don't feel like I lose opportunities because if I need a day off or something, you give it to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, let's see. Well, I mean,
you're like, for example, when we're in Atlanta,
trolls.
We're gonna have to figure out how we're getting to that game, Freddie.
Talk about
because I'm not going on Tuesday.
Trolls from Denmark writes in, "Hello from worthless Denmark, the home of Lego, Skype, and millions of Patriots fans."
Legos are from Denmark?
Wow, that's huge. If it is, that's true. And Skype?
Will and TJ did a little Lego contest at Toys R Us over the weekend.
Oh yeah,
did very well.
Nice. I just wrote to inform that the soccer has been. Had several rules changes over the last 15 to 20 years. The offside rule isn't as strict anymore. A player is only offside if he has influence on the play. The goalie can't pick up passes from his own defenders with his hands. Also,
that wasn't always a rule?
I didn't know that.
Oh, then I stand corrected then.
Also, referees are encouraged to use the whistle less to keep the game flowing, if that makes any sense. Doesn't make any sense when you're tackling people in the box, anyway.
And you're taking goals away by blowing your whistle.
But anyway,
no reason.
That's what I hate about MLS. You know, as much as people make fun, Taylor Twellman's a damn good goal scorer, and I have seen him get absolutely mugged close to the goal. They need to call those fouls. They need to loosen it up in there so these guys can show off their skills. Anyone, I could go in there and tackle somebody. That's not soccer.
Don't you feel like they always call it the other way in there too? They always call it against the offensive player because they're afraid to give him a penalty kick.
No, that's absolutely true. They don't want to do anything that will, you know. Because goals are so scarce, they don't want it to influence. And I understand that. But if there's a freaking foul, call it.
They should never call it on the offense.
But anyway, love
anything to promote more offense, they should try to do.
Love your show. Keeps me informed on the latest Patriots gossip, which is much more important to me than World Cup. And P.S., I spent a quarter at Ohio University in 2007. Seeing the best player to come out of there in 30 years go to the Patriots is like a wet dream to me. Well, that's good.
Settle down.
That's good. We don't have Andy to talk about wet dreams, but that's all right. Get a mention of that every show.
You know, back when my Huskies actually had a football team, Freddie, they beat Ohio University.
Is that right?
In 2002.
Good.
So it's before Trevor Price, or Taylor Price. Taylor Price, not Trevor Price.
I emailed you a few weeks ago. This is Baron. I'm from Bermuda. Still looking for a pin on your map. But anyway, I was thinking of my fantasy team this season. And all you guys keep saying is how good our two rookie tight ends look.
I like them.
So I was thinking instead of getting one high in the draft, I will take Aaron or Gronk later. Which one do you think would be better? Thanks, and don't forget that pin. That's a good strategy.
From a fantasy perspective, Hernandez is your guy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure either one of them are huge fantasy guys.
Although, if your league gives more points for touchdowns, Gronk down in the red zone might be the guy to go with.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know. To me, it's still Randy Moss.
Speaking of fantasy, NFL has just launched their new version, their new fantasy game. I think there might be an ad on Patriots.com. They're going to have a fantasy game this year that's going to blow away all the Yahoos and ESPN. It's free, but they're going to have video highlights that go with it and all kinds of tools that you can, you know, use. And obviously, with the video, only the league can use that. So if you're thinking of starting a league or joining a league, check out the NFL.com fantasy football. You can sign up right now if you want, as early as now, and schedule your draft and all that stuff. So I'd just be remiss if we were talking fantasy. I didn't mention the NFL.com game, and it's free. That's the biggest thing. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I'm assuming
Andy's
back on
Thursday. Thank you for the lunch and
Thursday.
The dessert, people.
Yeah, Rajiv for lunch. Thank you so much. Sam for dessert. Awesome. What a great surprise. And I'm waiting for my single malt scotch and my cigars, but there's still time for that. And we'll see you Thursday.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.